Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, making our way through this most holy of weeks. The last couple of days, we've been talking about the life of St. Peter, a particular role in the drama that Peter played and what unfolded in him in this holy week. And we see this man who Jesus, he would rename and, you know, call him Rock. And on the rock, he would build the church. And there were so many great moments in Peter's life where he stepped up and the Lord acknowledged God's grace on his life. And Peter led with courage and the rest. But also in this week is the great drama of the revelation of Peter coming to terms with his own sinfulness, his own weakness. And in the moment that Jesus needed him the most, Peter denied ever knowing him, and it crushed him. And we ended the program yesterday talking about how Peter, both Luke and Matthew and others, say Peter wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. He repented. He was so sad. But it was such an important revelation for him to be able to see the true condition of his heart. It humbled him profoundly, and it caused him not to run away, but it caused him to weep, repent, turn his heart back to the Lord, to cry out to the Lord. And the Lord wasn't surprised what unfolded in Peter. He knew it needed to happen. It needed to happen partly because of the great authority that Peter was going to bear and the way the Lord was going to use him. The only way to be able to effectively live with that is to be stripped of all self-will and pretense at a very deep level and to come to terms with your own weakness so that you can walk in humility. And Peter was going to bear such responsibility, such authority, and the Lord was going to do such amazing things through him. But first, he had to purify him. And so he would never forget the reality of who he is and what happened. It would cause Peter to have great compassion on all those also who would confront their own weakness. And it's such a beautiful, dramatic story. And in some ways, we're all Peter. As today, I want to talk a little bit about John the Apostle and Our Lady. And in some ways, we're all like John too. We're beloved of God. We're the beloved disciples of Jesus. And the context of the story that we'll walk through on Good Friday, the crucifixion, in John's account, chapter 19, verse 25, it says, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. It's a beautiful moment, a moment orchestrated by the Lord. Standing before him is the disciple. He's the one that's there, the one whom Jesus loved. There's a particular way that John was constituted, who John was, John's capacity to love, somehow his capacity by in the grace of God to grasp who Jesus was at his core, unlike anybody else could do among the apostles, at least at that time. They all loved him. He all loved them. But there was a unique relationship that John had with him. He was the beloved disciple. And of course, Our Lady, the one who, because of the very death Jesus was dying, was conceived without sin and walked in the humility and grace and with such humility that the Father was drawn to her and the Father entrusted to her the biggest thing that ever happened in human history and ever will happen was the incarnation of our Lord Jesus. And she participated in it in her humility and her love and her weakness. And she loved Jesus. And those two together are such an important model. I just want to read the commentary from the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible on the New Testament on this passage. It says, the address sounds impersonal to modern readers, that is, woman. You know, when Jesus says woman, the address sounds impersonal to modern readers, but was considered polite in biblical antiquity. Jesus probably alludes to Genesis 3:15, which describes the mother of the Messiah as the woman whose offspring conquers the devil. Behold your son. Jesus' words, behold your son. Jesus honors his mother by entrusting her to the protective care of the Apostle John. presumably because Mary had no other children to assume that responsibility. John is not just an individual disciple. He is portrayed by the evangelist as an icon of every disciple whom Jesus loves. So John is the icon. Mary is given to all the beloved disciples of Christ, just as every disciple is given to the maternal care of Mary. The assumption here is that the family relations are extended beyond the limits of natural lineage, so that every baptized believer has God as a father, Christ as an elder brother, Mary as a mother, and the saints as brothers and sisters. Isn't that beautiful? That's so beautiful in God's plan. Mary is the new Eve, right? Jesus is the second Adam. Where Adam failed to stand, Jesus is the victor. Jesus is siring through his death on the cross and the shedding of his blood. He's breaking the hold of all the dominion of the kingdom of darkness over the human race. And there's a new beginning. There's a rebirth. There's a new creation that's about to burst forth from the person of Jesus. He's the new Adam. He's a life-giving spirit, and he's siring a race of people that are going to be born of the Spirit, who are going to be washed by the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. They're going to be cleansed from their sin. They're going to be set free from the darkness of the enemy, and they're going to be filled with the very life that raised Jesus from the dead. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, I believe chapter 15, says, Jesus is a life-giving spirit. Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Apostle, all the apostles will be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And here, Jesus is communicating to you and to me that, number one, he's hanging on the cross out of love for us, out of love for the Father, in obedience to the Father, and out of love for each and every one of us. And his arms are spread wide, nailed to that cross, totally open. He's opened his arms to you and to me. And he wants you to know how personal it is that he's hanging on that cross for you. And he's saying, I love you. And I want you to be my disciple. And I want you to be beloved as John is my beloved brother, my beloved disciple. I want you to be my beloved disciple. And I want to give you my mother. I want you to live under her protection like Jesus did for a time in teaching and formation. And her unique role, we know, by God's grace in the church. She's Mary's crowned queen of heaven and earth. And she's the first disciple who's experienced the extraordinary effects of the victory of Jesus. And Jesus honored his mother. He fulfilled the commandment. I mean, Jesus fulfilled all the commandments. Remember, he said he didn't come to take away any of the commandments. He came to fulfill them. And of course, on the cross, he is radically fulfilling the first commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And right there standing before him are those who love Jesus to the end. They loved him to the end. And Jesus is forming a new family, a spiritual family, a new body. And everyone baptized into Jesus is part of that spiritual family. And we become children of God. And so beautifully, John the Apostle, in his first letter, I've been reading it and meditating on it during this season as well, just because I wanted to just lay hold of more deeply the grace that was on John's life, if you could put it that way. His capacity, both in the Gospels and his letters, to communicate the depth of God's love in Jesus and what it meant to become a child of God is so beautiful. I just want to read some of it. And this is the brother who Jesus loved, who's standing there before him as Jesus is being crucified. And he's holding on to Our Lady, onto Mary, and Jesus gives them to each other. And put yourself in John's position. This is who you're called to be. This is who Jesus envisions you to be like John, to behold your mother, Mary, to see the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus Christ that washed you clean, that made you a disciple, that made you a child of God. It's a gift. It's God's gift. In chapter 3 of 1 John, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. John had such clarity about it. So here he is in this moment before the cross, and Jesus is giving him to Mary and Mary to him, and he's establishing this real spiritual family. And all of it takes place under the Father. Jesus is making his life an offering to the Father. And in that offering, he's saving us. He's shedding his blood. He's breaking sin's power over us out of love for us. But the momentum, the first orientation of Jesus' life is to bring everything under the Father. The Father who is love itself, who is mercy itself, who is kindness, who is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, who is awesome and who is almighty, whose holiness and transcendence. Jesus' whole life was to reveal the Father. And right there at the foot of the cross is the family. It's the beginning of this new family, a family that Jesus wants to bring to the Father. He's bringing everybody out of alienation, everybody out of separation, everybody out of a sin-sick condition, and bringing us into health, spiritual health. And that means having the life of the Son within us, and he's drawing us into the family of God the Father. He's the origin and the destiny of all of it. And Jesus is living the life you and I were meant to live. Jesus is orienting his entire life, his decisions, the offering of his whole energy, his whole person, he's offering it in obedient love to the Father. And this act of humility, which at its core is the most profound act of love the world has ever seen. Humility and love, you see it in Mary and in John, humility and love. This is what conquers. This is what conquers the world of pride, the world of self-centeredness. It's humility and love. They're the greatest powers because it's God. It's God's heart. Again, John's beautiful words, see what love the Father has given us. That's a good thing to say as you meditate in this week on the cross of Jesus. Maybe Good Friday, keep repeating to yourself as that cross is raised or you go forward to kiss the crucifix, to be able to say, see what love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And this is Jesus' great mission, to make it possible for you and for me, and hopefully the whole world. This is why the church extends this mission, this love into the world, through evangelization, for the commitment to bring people to Jesus, to this very place, to literally be before the cross like Mary and John, to take the place of John and stand next to Our Lady at the cross and say, behold the love of God that so loves man. Behold this love. Live in this love. Receive this love. It's for each and every one of us. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.